Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, welcome back, guys, to another episode of your fucking favorite podcast, Get the Belt, home of melanin magnificence and kingdom of motherfucking belts, where what? Any motherfucker can get it. And I mean anyone. Right. So welcome back. Thank you for joining us, wherever you're listening to the show, or you may even be watching this show on YouTube. And I hope you're watching, and I hope that a bitch is subscribed. Amen. Now, I am joined today by a wonderful guest, a good friend of mine, Nushin.
Hello, gorgeous. How you doing?
How you doing? Come give me some love. How are you?
I'm very well. All the better for sitting there with you, my darling.
Oh, thanks. Thank you for coming on. Now, Nushin, you is a songwriter.
Yes, man.
You are an actor.
Yes.
You're also an activist. Are you just a whole round baddie? Like,
abso-fucking-lutely.
We see you on the screen.
Yes, we're about to, bit by bit.
We've seen you on many stages, doing up Get Up, Stand Up, doing up Once on This Island and many other things. You are a veteran.
Do you know what? Don't tell the people my age. Don't expose how old I am, but she's been around and about for a little minute now.
What is the best thing that you've ever done?
Do you know what? I think, honestly, getting the opportunity to be part of this industry as a black queer person and represent stories that feed my spirit. Mm. I will say one of my favourite jobs was Get Up, Stand Up, because I love an all-black cast and I made lifelong friendships and family bonds with the cousins. That really means something to me. Like, past the industry, who are the people I can have in my house when I've got my weave out? Do you know what I mean? Like, that part means something to the industry, because, as we were saying earlier, never industry friends, industry comrades and support, because it's not an easy thing to navigate, especially as a black person. This industry is complex.
I came to see you in Get Up, Stand Up, and I fucking absolutely loved that show. And I've spoken to you about this because I've known many people from the OG cast. Yeah, go, you get comfortable.
Get cozy.
Like, obviously, I'd seen one of my best friends in the OG cast, and she actually had to leave because shit was getting mad there. Mm-hmm. And I actually, when I then saw you guys a lot later on down the line, and things were still just as bad, if not worse, I was like, no, I actually want to talk to you guys on screen and like really delve into, like,
absolutely
what that experience was like, because, as you know, being in an all black cast is, there's something just
special
about it, because we all know how it feels to go into a workplace or any kind of establishment and be the only
up in the yard, and you're just like, oh, so I've just got to keep myself quiet. I think what is important as people become more aware, more I was about to say work, but I fucking hate that word because it's just been commodified by the wrong people. But as we become more aware, is that as much as you can have all black cast, are the people surrounding that all black cast looking like the cast? And sometimes I think that can, like, make the message and the process a bit fractious and bring in energies in the room that maybe if it was a full on cookout, it would be a bit more relaxed. Whereas there's kind of a tension sometimes, and you're like, well, you want to just be able to be the artist, be the cousin, be able to express as we do as people of color, as black people, which we don't hold ourselves back. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I stand more comfortable when you say what the fuck you're saying. Do you know what I mean? I don't need no subversive conversation. Like, say what the fuck you're saying, because I don't know where I stand with you. We friends? Okay, we're friends. If we ain't friends, then say that too. Whereas the industry that we work in is oftentimes the opposite. The opposite way around.
Fake.
And I think, especially when you've got a message with Get Up, Stand Up, which was about bonfire upon the white man, innit? And you're trying to figure out that message, but also sometimes the people that are that you're having to answer to maybe don't resonate with that message in their spirit, because it's not what they've grown up with. That's your grandparents, that's your auntie, that's your uncle. So when you're trying to be like, yo, but if you talk to me in a way that resonates with the message that you want us to say on stage, maybe you'll get more of a comfortable situation for yourself and for ourselves.
Like, even when you say that, like, it to me, it just gives slaves and master.
And this is the part of the industry I've always said to people is, like, there is an element, particularly within musical theatre, and I love musical theatre, don't get me wrong, it's what we've done our whole life, but there is an element of shucking and jiving, which you have to just take with a teaspoon of sugar makes the medicine go down. You just have to check that part, because there are times where you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, okay, let me just take the paycheck, keep my mouth shut, and just navigate, because we all have our different levels of comfortability. Some of the brothers and sisters are like, listen, I don't see it like that at all. Some of us are like, Bridget, it is all and only that. So you have to kind of figure out where in the balance. You can even have those conversations with certain cousins, because some of them would be like, I don't even want to have that conversation, because then I don't know.
And a lot of them stay licking ass. A lot of them, there are many, I know several coons in this industry. I know several.
Why are you straight on fire, guys? Say it again.
The fucking belt, bitch. Several coons in this
industry.
There are. Lick ass, suck dick to stay resident
and throw the cousins underneath the bus, which I'm like, oh please, I beg.
And I've been
bus.
Many under many of
them. Oh, I tell you, me too.
I've been under many of them.
No names to be mentioned.
I'll gladly say that.
Don't stop that. Behave yourself. Release me.
Oh, but yeah. You've done a lot, and it really is an honor to have you on the show.
Thank
like
you,
not just my friend, but like what you've brought into the industry.
Thank you.
If you haven't seen this man perform, go get out there and see him. Are you in anything right now, like live theatre?
Do you know
coming?
What? Are we going to be talking about the thing?
Are going to be talking about things. We will
check
be talking
that.
About.
There is a we're pitching a TV show at the moment called Electric Queens of Brixton. So my focus now, as much as I love theatre, is to get into TV and film. That's my focus. And the TV show is about queer black life.
Can I quickly ask you one question? Because I feel like this will be an interesting point for our listeners to hear. Why do you want to make the transition from musical theatre, seeing as you love it so much, into TV and film? And keep it 100.
More money, less work.
Mm-hmm.
Because representation matters. And I'm telling you, like, I think with the musical theatre world, sometimes they struggle to see out of who they see as the leading black guy or the queer person or the person that they reach to. And I'm like, that's not to take away from anyone's talent or their artistry. There's so many beautiful brothers and sisters out there. However, they're not the only one that can do the job.
Yeah.
And there's so much opportunity out there. It almost feels like they kind of just take one person from one job and skip them to the next one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great. That person should be booked and blessed. I'm glad they are. And I'm glad when I get the booking and blessing, I'm sure people have had that experience where they're like, oh, not him, man. But at the same point, I'm like, there's a lot of artistry out there. And I also just want to say, by the way, like musical theatre practitioners, whenever you have one black person playing the preacher, the father, the son, the son-in-law, it pisses me off, because you'll have 25 white people playing the bus man, the bus driver, the lady who stands by the tree, everybody, but you'll have one black person playing the one, every black character. That really gets me in my chest. What do you mean? You can't find five black people to play that?
Because I know several black good performers that need a job.
Babe, that will come and get their ensemble cast. Do it good.
Play the playing age right. How are you going to have me playing a 10-year-old and then a couple scenes later, I'm 56?
And then 2 pages later, and I am telling you. No, babe. Come on. Effie can't also be Narelle. Like, I beg. Like, I beg. Like, Jesus Christ, release us.
Yeah, we are definitely going to get into the Electric Queens of Comedy.
Yes.
But I really want of comedy, the Electric Queens of Brixton, sorry.
Yes, baby.
But for now, we're going to continue with the show.
Sure.
And we are going to get the word of the week. So what is your word of the week, Nushin?
My word of the week is more of a phrase. So.
Yep.
I always say, if you don't like, don't look. If you don't like, don't look. I'm going to say it one more time. If you don't like, don't look. This is for the man them. The ones who are like, huffing and puffing. I'm like, but brethren, if you don't like, don't look. It's really simple to me. Like, so say like,
right.
me and my spicy white husband, we'll be at carnival, right?
Come on, spicy white.
Spicy white, come on now. And we'll be shocking out, foot punch order, living our best life. And the man then will just be huffing, puffing, breezing and doing a whole lot of stupidness. And I'm like, but wait a minute. Across this sea of batty and beauty and breast, you've reached your eye to look across at us. That means you're gay. Or at least you're questioning. So if you're going to try and make me feel uncomfortable, I'm not going to make you uncomfortable, because now you have to think about your internalized homophobia, which comes from your homosexuality. Oh no, you have to think about that in the middle of carnival. Okay.
That's why they don't be dancing.
Because
they're boner.
Right.
When they see the when they see the men's like this, they...
No, like, why are you...
And they like, keep saying...
And I'm just like, let everybody live, because I don't be watching you and thinking, oh my God, why is he holding his girlfriend's hand? Why is he kissing up his girlfriend?
Do you know what I mean? Why? Because you're at peace with who you are.
This part.
When you're at peace with who you are, and when they're not at peace with who they are, they get aggravated.
Aggravated.
Just mingling in sight. Just mingling in sight. Wow. It's because you're at peace with who you are, so you can see the things and be cool, because... Mm-hmm. Peace, yeah. What was the phrase again?
If you don't like, don't look.
If you don't like, don't look. That is so facts. And I love how you can also flip that phrase mm-hmm. and use it for yourself, because there's so many things mm-hmm. that I don't like. And if I look at them, it would just get me vexed.
Get me in my chest. So I don't.
Be it things at work or whatever. And there are obviously things that I'm known for having quite the loud mouth. I don't think I always have a loud mouth. Like, you spent a lot of time with me. I don't feel like I'm always loud.
But you know what? You say what you mean and you mean what you say, and I will always appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no need to mince your words. And I think as well, to even just loop that back to our industry, I think because we're trained so much to keep ourselves quiet.
Yeah.
No. Louder is the better. Like,
yeah.
You want us to be loud on stage, so you're going to have to appreciate me loud off stage, right?
That part.
Simple as that.
That part. And like, there's obviously things that I will call out and things of that nature, but I'm also very much aware of the saying, like, choose your battles.
And
so when it comes to that, that's where I feel like that's a phrase that I can apply to me and be like, Miles, if you don't like it, don't look at it, because what's gonna happen? Can you change it? No. So why are we fixating on this? Move on. Mm-hmm. Keep focused mm-hmm. on my own shit. Mm-hmm. So I like that word of the week this week, because it works in so many different ways. If you don't like it, don't look.
Amen. Just... Peace above all things. We are keeping our peace.
Yes.
More and more as we move forward.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for that word of the week this week, Nushan. How has your week been so far? I know it's Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
but how has the last 7 days been for you? Okay. What's going on with you?
So I'm recovering from being in Brazil for a little while. I went out there to celebrate my birthday.
Recovering from being in Brazil?
No, listen, Brazil, then
people... What broke?
Everything. My back?
My back,
my front, my side, my foot. Everything. Like, it's such a beautiful place. It was such my other half took me out there. You will love it. And because you look Brazilian, you look like you are the world, babe. We are the world.
Every motherfucker I meet, there was like, oh, don't tell where you're from. You're from Brazil, innit? And I'm like, no, girl. All the motherfucking mixes I got in me, Brazilian is the one thing that I
don't
have.
Honestly, they'll start talking to you in Portuguese. You'll be like...
I'm not obrigado.
Yeah, you're right. That's why obligado. I took my blonde wig out there. I took my little ice spice out there. They were like, you're from Brazil. I was like, no, man.
Yes. What part of Brazil you go to?
We went to Rio de Janeiro and we were staying on Copacabana, and it was magic.
Did you meet Raheem?
No, I didn't meet no Raheem. I
and I love that you knew who the fuck I was.
What do you mean? Oh my God, no Raheem. Ooh.
Yeah, Raheem and his man with the blonde.
I just got a Mr. Shabazz.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, all
and they were really out there. Like, I really was. I was like, oh wait, you're on Ipanema. We're staying.
You're on who?
So Copacabana leads onto Ipanema Beach, like on that kind of corner. And like, they were always on Ipanema. I was like, where the hell is Mr. Shabazz out in the?
Oh, right. So we're talking about the apps.
Yeah,
Christian Connect.
Oh no, yeah,
Christian Connect.
That's what me and my man say. We meet up. We met on Christian
Connect. Yeah, Christian Mingle.
Where two or more are gathered.
Yeah. More often than not on their knees.
I got your very much
on their knees.
Oh my Lord. But we went to Brazil and it was party, 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 because it was carnival time.
Yeah.
And it was just It was wonderful. Like, to see so many black people, so many queer people, everybody half naked, like girl, boy, everything in between. And I was just living, as I stepped more into my kind of expression of my gender identity, it was just nice to be living my best life out there.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. I will say there is a very distinct
divide.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to say
like,
that.
Rich
it
and
gives.
Poor, yeah. And,
it gives that.
But also in terms of just checking how the aunties and uncles that don't have much, how they'll get treated when they walk into a store. I'm not really into that bit where like other black people treat other black people like they're not welcome in a space where it's on their land. Mm. I'm not into that. I'm like, I don't know. It just, that kind of irked me quite a lot in my spirit. Cause I was like, wait a minute. The only thing, even if that person is not your direct cousin, your direct family member, give them that grace. Do you know what I mean? That's still, if you're looking at it in the context of life, that's your auntie, that's your uncle, that's your mom, that's your dad. And I know I would not be standing for anyone to talk to my parents like that. I certainly don't stand for it. Like, I'm like, that's why, whatever the space, white space, black space, rich, poor, whatever, I'm walking through like I own the motherfucker because was it not all built by our grandparents?
Yeah. One of the things I've said a lot, like on Twitter or even on this podcast, is that I don't really like to say that I'm an LGBTQ advocate or I'm a black activist or whatever, or I'm pro these things. I like to say I'm an activist of hope, or I'm of love, pro love. Because I feel like sometimes it can have connotations with other things and it can be misconstrued. And really, when you root everything in love, everyone is equal. When you root everything in love, then you're pro so many different things. Like you were saying, when poor people would come in, like that's a black issue, like in that particular black community out there in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why I would say I'm more of a love activist or activist of love is because that love needs to be shown within the community. And across, so that I would then, that like, just because it's two black people, it doesn't mean like, oh no, I'm not going to say anything. Or like on this show, like if it's someone black, I'm not going to read them. I will, because that's why at the end, beginning of every single episode, I say anyone, any motherfucker can get it, because I'm pro-love. It's not just everyday fuck white people and black.
No, as you explained
yeah, what was going on in Brazil, like that ain't right. So I like to say I'm pro-love. So,
and I had to learn that with my own self and my own levels. I think especially when it came to the protests during lockdown, and it is easy to be like, fuck white people. However, my husband is potato and leek white. Yes, he's spicy on top of the potato and leeks, but he is potato and leek white. Like, it's Irish.
I like the potato and leeks.
No, so do I, clearly.
My white grandma used to make it.
Come on, that is delicious.
It's Scotch bonnet.
Right, what did you...
It's Scotch bonnet.
See, so you need the spice in it. But I still like to say, like, I had to really learn my levels in terms of that. What really got me was that there were a lot of allies there who were making me feel very comfortable, whereas there were a lot of cousins who were making me feel deeply uncomfortable.
And just for the viewers and the listeners, cousins, you mean black people?
I mean the black people who were unhappy to see me there in my queer identity protesting for us.
Oh, whereas so they... I'm guessing it was straight.
Yeah. Whereas you're not protesting for us. So what's that about?
Because
if you're not protesting for everybody, then you're not really protesting.
Yeah.
You're not doing nothing. You're standing around.
Then you're really not even pro-black because...
Really? That part. And that was the part I had to really realise. And I think... It came with a lot of lessons on understanding how I could allow myself to breathe around and receive the love from my white cousins and be like, you know what, you're actually really here for it. And allow my husband to breathe in certain spaces where maybe I was like really harsh, but like, fuck it, white people. It's like, but you've chosen to be with me. You love me, right? So then if that is the case, and also with the added family that I've been ingratiated into with his family, like they've really shown me so much love. And we've had some deep conversations which have helped me to process where my nearest and dearest are not very comfortable with me being queer, if at all. Do you know what I mean? And that's a complex and also beautiful, sad and rewarding dance. It's all those things in one kind of mad pie, if that makes sense. I'm trying to figure it out as I'm saying it to you. But
so you are out, right?
Absolutely. I've been out since from the womb.
Hallelujah.
Like, babe, I'm telling you, I came out the womb like the moment she walked in the joint.
What?
And I came out to my mom when I was like 13. And then my mom must have been like, my parents are very staunchly religious. My mom was not having a bar of it. So then I went back in the closet. Then I came out.
But you stepping back.
Babe, I stepped back.
But the outfit changed.
Babe, I said, okay, we're going to try this again in a couple of years' time. And then for the majority of my life, my mum was always trying to set me up with like a sister in her congregation, which I was like, girl,
because but you on date doing nails with
man, and it's mad because the sisters that I would have grown up with when I was a youth in a congregation, basically across the board, we're like all queer. So like a lot of them have like their wives and their kids or their husbands and their children. I'm like, have you not? No, I mean, as in like there's a generation of us that are queer. And like the ones that I would have grown up and been with and that would have potentially been my like my future wife. Yeah. I'm like, girl, like we're trying to keep it. That's a whole another story.
In the LGBTQDL
community. What? I'm telling you. Oh, God.
Madness. But other than recovering.
Oh, yeah. So then besides that, recovering and enjoying.
So you're not drinking.
I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. We are. That's why I'm like, because I'm like, you know what? I wanted to give myself rehabilitation of the mind, the body and the spirit and just get into whatever the next chapter is bringing. Like, mm-hmm. I think as I'm moving away from theatre, as much as I love it, I want to get to Hollywood. I want to get them Hollywood bucks, man. Yeah. Like, the strike is over. So, babe, let's get to it.
Literally. Oh, well, I'm really, really excited for tomorrow. My week's been okay. It's just been back-to-back auditions. I even said last week, auditions, which I'm really, really grateful for. But it does get to the point where it starts to feel like a full-time job. Like, I go home, I've got scenes to learn. I've got songs to learn. Mm-hmm. And they need to be a certain genre, a certain tempo and all of this. And it's like, this is a job that I'm really not getting paid for. And it's so overwhelming. Like, I just want a minute to relax. And the other day, I had a friend, like, holler at me and just be like, oh, I saw so-and-so the other day. And they said they've not heard from you and they miss you. And, like, it's sad that they never hear from you. And I was just like, I sometimes feel like I don't hear from myself. Like, because I'm recording, prepping for recording, going to an audition, learning for an audition. Or I'm trying to get to the gym or trying to do my job to pay the bills, because these auditions sure ain't paying for the bills.
Oh, that's another thing we should talk about. In America, on Broadway, once you've done your two auditions, they start paying you for coming in the room again. UK,
hello,
fix up. Like,
equity.
Come on.
Well, in TV and film, whenever I do my commercial castings, they pay you.
They start paying you. Musical theater, they're like, bitch, you're 50 rounds late.
Bitch,
you're like,
I did a... Fuck it. I did about 6 auditions for Tina. Didn't get it. The amount of money that I'd spent travelling around London.
Baby! And the 52 songs that you also have to learn and like, because like, is it...
Because they also very much had me being Preacher.
Baby! Right!
Preacher!
As well as the...
Calm down to church. Come on down to the altar.
You better not bush City Limits.
Bitch! And then doing... I'm the 10-year-old. Bye, give me $10. One bit of pay. The UK needs to fix up. The whole musical theatre industry just needs to just really elevate a little bit more, because they're really going on like it's the 1950s and every other industry has developed, got more things. Some of them are doing work. Not obviously, we can't work from home, but like 6-day weeks, eight shows. Like, why are we not like dividing this, getting more swings, doing half, right? Like, you could do half of the week. That person does half of it. It gives us all more time to recover, because also doing 8 shows a week, you're not gonna, if you've been in a show for 6 months doing it 8 shows a week with no days off, your performance is gonna go down.
Absolutely. And
if I've been on job for 6 months and I've only been doing 4 days, 4 shows a week, and I've been able to recover, bitch, every show, I mean, I'm gonna give you a fucking stellar show regardless. But it's gonna be easier if I've had the time to recover, because in the West End, I don't know whether you know this, you get 1 day off a week after 8 shows, and in that 1 day off, you would think, oh, I'm just going to chill.
No.
Let me rest.
You have to clean your house. You have to wash your clothes. You got to do your hair. You got to do
a
whole
life as well.
You might be able to go out for a drink and like, do something that is not fucking about the
job. And you know,
if
you've had a life on that 1 day off, be it your Sunday, your Monday, or whatever, the next day, boom, back at it with shows. It's like, oh, I've not really had time for myself. So yeah, the industry needs to really step its pussy up.
Amen.
But yeah, otherwise it's been good. Just a lot, like I said, lots of auditions. I want to say thank you to all the people that have subscribed on YouTube. I created this YouTube channel 3 weeks ago. We've already got over 120 subscribers. We've already had over 10,000 views.
Come on. I'm very proud of you.
I'm really, really loving it. And I think I've already got my first sponsor, girl. Let's just say I think it's got a lot to do with hair.
Come on.
I think the mandem and my my non-binaries will appreciate this. Maybe some of the girls, if you're worried about your hairline, your edges, this might be for you. But I'm very excited to share this potential collaboration
this
with
dope.
You guys. But yeah, so thank you for everyone that shares it. Whenever I get a little notification on my phone saying that someone shared a reel that we've posted or like followed, like it really warms my heart and makes it go, yeah, let's keep this going. Let's keep this going because I love this. Like this podcast has nearly been going for 5 or 6 years now.
Wow, that's okay, yeah.
And you know, it feels a little bit like Destiny's Child in a sense where we started with three of us and then there were a different three where someone got swapped out and then it was two and now just Beyonce's left. Now I'm joking.
This ain't Texas. No, I can't wait. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're going to get into that.
We'll come back. We'll win.
No shade. I love all my other co-hosts. Shout out to all of them because without them, I feel like Beyonce, without those girls, I would not be here.
There were not five Dreamettes. There were 12. Listen, because...
No, but for I want to shout out to all of the originals. Kashmir, I love you, baby girl. Remy Sweeney, Ellis, aka Spiritual Baddie. I love all of you. And I want to do maybe for our 5 year, 6 year anniversary, maybe it's a little reunion thing.
Ooh.
That could be real cute. Girl. That could be real cute. We'll check the schedules. But I feel like Matthew Knowles trying to get this show back together.
Listen.
But yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners, all the watchers, just for supporting it because, you know, this has been going for so long. I had a vision. I wanted to speak about black issues, gay shit. I wanted to have a platform and a space where it's specifically for black and brown people because there's so many spaces that we see so many basic people, basic black people occupying them spaces because they're the only one. And it's like, no, there are so many people out here doing bits, but you want to keep the same Higgy Hagger on your show every single week. And it's like, nah, like I know personally so many wonderful people that whose stories need to be heard, their issues need to be discussed. And you need to see their beautiful fucking faces. Mm-hmm. It's not always the same motherfucking mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been, I've even had people I don't know on here, like Ty Hunter, Beyonce's stylist. I don't know him like that. But this show has allowed me to like connect with people that I don't know. Do you know Legendary? Did you watch Legendary?
Yes, of course I did.
Arturo been on the show.
Come on now.
Have you heard of Carterwear? Underwear brand.
No, I haven't.
Ooh,
but
you, oh, I'm a chum.
Okay, listen. I like a skimpy scampy.
Yes. And it's black owned. The CEO of that brand came on like... And it's just, it's so honouring to know that I've created a place where, like, anyone from, like, a Beyonce stylist to my cousin has been on this podcast to talk the things. Because even a young girl from Bristol, single mother, has got things that you motherfuckers could learn about. Like, do you know what I mean? So I'm just grateful for all of you that tune in every single week, share support, because none of this would be possible without you guys.
Amen. So, say a sermon. Say a word.
Hallelujah. No, don't. Don't. Right. So let's get into the rest of the show because obviously we'll be here for 12 years of slave, honey.
Go on. Let's do
right,
it.
Right. So it's now time, guys, for Melanin Magnificence. Who does your Melanin Magnificence go to, Nushin?
Oh, okay. I've got a few that I wanted to shout out. We're going to start
with... Girl, I said one.
Oh, damn. Can I just...
I'll give you two.
Okay. Okay, who am I going to pick? Coleman Domingo. Because, honestly... What? He is my uncle aspirations. I'm telling you. You need to watch
Coleman Domingo.
Yes. He just was...
Oh, yeah, I know him. I forget names.
Oscar season was in Rustin.
Wait a minute. So I've seen him with this...
That's his
spicy
hubby.
White.
That's his hubby. Yes.
He part of the LGBTQ
community. Yes,
man. I didn't know this.
Was amazing in Rustin. Was amazing in Color Purple. And
oh yeah, he was.
He was beautiful.
He was a piece of
right.
Said, you better act your black
and
ass.
And the whole award season, he dressed impeccably. Like the
he did.
What?
Right now, yeah.
It was doing. Like I just. I'm all for queer expression. Live your best life. But there's a way to be fabulous and not look clownish. And I'm just saying, you could do the most without doing the most. And I feel like he's got a beautiful balance on how to express himself as a black man, be couture as fuck, be fabulous as fuck, but still not have them looking at you like, why is this man
doing?
Like, what are you doing?
It's called style.
Right. Called and style cannot be bought.
A stylist style and fashion are very different things. You can have the latest thing in fashion and be unstylish and look a hot mess, bitch.
That whole part.
Head to toe Balenciaga, hot mess.
Please, looking like Shein. Like, no, come on, babe. It's a skill set. I'm telling you. Some of you girls need to take note because you'd be wearing labels from head to toe. I'm like, okay.
And looking wild.
For why? For who? And my second one has got to be Auntie Diane Abbott, specifically because we're not going to be out here disrespecting black women. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it in 2024. I'm telling you from now, we're not going to do it. I think the way that them idiots, them coons up in House of Parliament are sitting there pretending. I saw your saw the podcast where you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Stupidity, black Tories. Mm. How dare you pretend like your name is not Ola Fagbemi? How dare you pretend like you don't know what it is? Like you as a dark-skinned person was not called every N-word, every G-word, everything underneath the sun. And now you're going to sit like, I don't think it's actually about her dark skin. Shut the fuck up. You know it was exactly... I don't know if it's specifically about race.
Yeah.
So when the white girls were taking a piss out of you with your braids and being like, why does your hair lay like that? And why does your mum talk like that? Why does your food smell like that? Shut up, man. Fair. So now you want to sit there for position.
Mm.
There is a special place in hell for those people that would ever try to make us feel uncomfortable. Like, we are not the birth product of this exact place, same place. We're British children. Yeah, like our parents may not have been, our grandparents may not have been from here, but I tell you what, my papers are my papers, babe. Like, you can't take away my passport.
My passport is black and it's got the
big gold stamp on it. But, so I tell you from now, don't try me. Like, honestly, that's the part I really want us to give our praise to Auntie Diane, because she's we may not even agree with everything she says, but she's worked hard and long enough from being the first black woman in the house.
I think it's been like 50 years.
What?
Now. You know, she's in her 70s.
Babe, and this is what I'm saying.
I didn't know that.
Unless you smoke the crack. Like, still out here.
And unless you don't moisturize, bitch.
Okay.
Moisturize.
This is why I stay home on a Saturday. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm creaming for fun. Lotioning. Like, babe, you got to... Babe, what do you mean? We've been lotioning for fun. Like, come on now. But I'm proud of her that she's managed to navigate what is an onslaught on her person with yet more grace. You don't have to agree with her policy. You don't have to agree with what she's about. But you do have to respect her because, like I saw from the protest outside Hackney Town Hall, if you attack one black woman, you attack all of us.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. That's my mom. I go back to the part. It's my mom, it's my sister, my auntie, my niece. We just can't stand for it. So if you're really about it, make sure that your voice is heard. Make sure that you're not standing for that nonsense. Nah, it's not a debate. It's not a discussion. Like, racism in 2024, even from our own cousins, because we all have to be on top of decolonizing our own minds and our own expressions. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't promote it. That's so
fact.
For Auntie Diane Abbott.
Come on, Auntie Diane Abbott. For Auntie Diane. So my melanin magnificence this week goes out to a man by the name of Vargin. Vargin. Oh, I did have his second name somewhere, but basically this man is being named as the first ever black leader of a European country. Wales, we're talking about Wales. There is a black man who is Zambian born.
Yes, I saw.
Zambian born. His name is Vargin, and he's being named Prime Minister of Wales after winning the Labour vote. So big up to Vargin. I did have his motherfucking second name up here, but I'll put it in the description below. As
I hope your policies are right. Don't be out here doing stupidness now.
Yeah, that's
like.
Let me not have to give that Vargin the belt in a couple
No, please. Can you imagine? Skip forward to 2 weeks from now and you're like, oh.
But yeah, congratulations on being the first ever black person to be leading a country in this here Europe, honey. Mm-hmm. I wish you all the best and represent us well. Represent Africans well as well. Okay? Thank you so much. And that is this week's Melanin Magnificence done. Right, so let's get into Miles Measures. So Miles Measures, we discuss all things pop culture, things that are of importance or things that I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like I'm obliged to talk about things that are uninteresting, but you girls want to hear it, so it is what it is. But Taylor Bennett, have you heard of Taylor Bennett?
No, who that?
Do you know who Chance the Rapper is?
Yes.
Do you think he's cute?
Yes, I do.
I think he's so fine.
Yeah, I think he's got a cute little face.
His brother, Taylor is also fine too.
Oh.
Now, so Taylor Bennett went and sat with a fellow rapper by the name of Jay Maine, and just came out as being bisexual. Like, he just owned it. He'd said it before, like a few years ago in 2017. He said that he was bisexual. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But he was recently on this show and was just saying, yeah, like, you know, I'm bisexual, and da, da, da. And this other rapper, Jay Maine, responded by saying, oh, you know, out here in Chicago, gay, bi means gay, right? And he kind of like laughed it off, which I would not have done.
No, no, it doesn't mean that.
And I just feel like it just goes to show, again, this was a straight black man that was saying, this and saying, you know, oh, bi is gay. And I think, of course, they're in America, but I do feel like there is still very much that stigma with being bisexual globally in the UK. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people have referenced it as being, you know, the door opener to when you then
you're
say, green, okay,
you're confused, you're da, 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 whatever it is.
I was going to say, people say, at least say it as a door opener to be like, okay, I'm really gay, but let me just say I'm bi for now. And you know what? Some people may do that. I don't think, I can't judge. I'm never going to judge no one. But if that's what they thought was the easiest way to then come out, fair be it. Fair play. But that's not always the way. And bisexuality is a thing, and it's something very valid. I identify as bisexual. I haven't licked a puss in over 6 years. Is it 6 years?
Why are you like that?
5 years. I ain't sucked a pussy in 5 years. There was the one time in Ibiza.
Ow.
Yeah. But in the last 5 years, I've been just enjoying getting my dick sucked by a man, swallowing a dick all the way to the back of my throat.
Get it?
Sitting on a dick, having my dick being sat on. But I'm still very much bisexual. It's not a guard. There's nothing to guard. Like I said, I'm comfortable. I'm cozy in my skin. Like, I will gladly eat a pussy. If it smells good and it's nice, gladly lick a pussy in the same way I'll gladly lick a dick.
It's mad you saying that, because as I've got more and more into my gender expression, like, it's taken me a long while to be like, I like to sometimes put on a skirt because I look bad. I give body. And I was like, you know what, let me put on a skirt. And I've realised a lot of women enjoy a man or a person. I consider myself to be a man in a dress. Whatever your gender identity is, go with that. But for me, I consider myself a man who likes to wear a dress. And the more I've been comfortable with my own sexuality, the more that women have been attracted to me, which has then encouraged me in my best sexuality. Whereas I've always considered myself to be gay or queer. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What I thought was gay or queer actually encompasses so many different sexual expressions. It's not just about
like gay. Gay has other sexual...
No. As in my... I consider myself to just be gay, to just be queer.
Okay.
And as I've kind of started expressing my queerness more and more, I've realised, oh, wait, I actually do enjoy my attraction towards women. I do enjoy that part of myself. That, right. And I never considered myself to be bisexual in any way. I was like...
Have you fucked a woman?
No, I'm a purebred. Actually, yeah. I mean, I've had my experiences. I haven't...
Have you ever eaten vagina?
I tried. Yes. And then, you know what? I was like, but you know, only if you gonna eat my pussy too. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, Maz, why are you asking me this question?
I love it. Well, you were getting into it when you came on this show, girl. Yeah, so.
I think, like, and also, do you know what? I think I've been debating with my actual brother. Anyway, we roll eyes about that. And I feel like I saw a meme the other day that said, I think a lot of men are not fighting demons. A lot of straight men are not fighting demons. They're fighting, but their bisexuality. Like, I feel like you project into this idea of like, if I even do anything that is not remotely like completely
mask.
Right. Then I might be a bit gay, or I'm like, guys, relax. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure that part about myself. Let me not project anyone else. That's my journey with it. And just not being kind of so binary with it. Enjoy.
Yeah.
As much as I like to express myself in a non-binary kind of way in my dress sense and my fashion, that also relates to my sexuality, and I'm enjoying that.
So have you ever found yourself, like, when someone bisexual has come to you and been like, I'm bisexual, and you've thought, oh, no, that's not the case. Oh, they gay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me like, too.
I think
me too.
It's hard. I think it's hard not to, because I think a lot of us, growing up in a lesser weird time, like, I definitely used the whole, like, oh, maybe I like girls to kind of segue into letting people know I was gay, which I think then we might project into someone who is bisexual.
Yeah.
And I think, like, don't forget the B is part of the LGBT. I said that my parents. My LGBTQIA+ community. Well,
not the DLs. I call it the LGBTQDL.
No, not the DLs. Oh, God. That's a whole next thing.
Yeah, because they are. They are one of the above. They just can't say it yet. So they, the DL.
Because that's true.
If we're talking about, if they heartbroken, right? If you a man in love with a man, because DL men can have hearts too.
I mean,
I've been around enough of them to know.
Huh? I'm telling you, listen.
Broken a few of their hearts when I walked out and didn't stay for cuddles after. I've seen a DL nigga get real emotional.
That one tear. Just...
Yeah, giving me... No, you know, I'm not going to associate it with bottom behaviour, but it was giving... I was to be...
No,
I okay. was to be bad. I would say it was giving bottom behaviour.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right.
But I've seen, you know, some tops be... I have seen some DL men get real upset and display, you know, real hurt because of me. And
they wanted a hug, they wanted that affection.
They wanted, like, and I could see what it was. And I wasn't ever about to be getting involved with a DL man because I know who I am and I'm proud of it. And I can't be out and about.
You can't be walking
shaking
right.
Me off.
No.
I've been there before with a woman, so I don't know what makes you think that I'm about to do it with me and you with our two
absolutely
kids.
Not. Absolutely
no.
not.
Yeah, like, if a DL man can be heartbroken over another man, just because he's DL, it doesn't mean he's still heartbroken over being, you know, romantically involved or emotionally attached to someone of the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is something a gay man experiences,
mm-hmm.
and that DL man experiences it, that's the same community experience, the same thing, just because he's not open about it.
Right.
But you're still a part of the same
community. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
My issues are your issues. Mm-hmm. If you out here... fucking niggas after heaven on Grindr, they come into your place and you hitting them raw,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden in the news, you know, we're saying, oh, there's a spike in monkeypox within the gay community in London. Bitch, the gay community.
Not the monkeypox. Not the monkeypox.
Then you'll find that DL motherfucker in Dean Street Clinic with a mask on.
It's so true. It's
because
so...
our issue is your issue, babe. You're part of the community, ho.
100%.
You're part of the community. The LGBTQDL.
I saw a video the other day that said there's a lot of men who are not fighting demons. They're fighting their own bisexuality. And I think that's the part of, like...
Or their sexuality, period.
Their sexuality, full stop. And I feel like the more that I've learned...
Black men.
Right. Because we're not encouraged always to be our most vulnerable. And I feel like the idea of black masculinity, I even feel it in me the more I kind of express my gender identity and wear my skirts and my little things, like that people expect a black man to be presenting themselves in a particular way.
Yeah.
My own family put it on me a lot in terms of, like, it's almost like they feel offended that I would choose to express my femininity. Mm. But I'm like, wait, some of the most powerful black men I know have a gentleness to them. Some of the most powerful black women I know have a strength to them that you would associate with masculinity, and then a softness in the masculine that you would associate with femininity. And I'm like, it's not actually as binary or as separate as you think it is.
Yeah, when I really look at some of the most, you know, important people in my life, like whether I know them personally or like they're like figures in the public eye, like you was just referring to, I think that the standouts, the majority of the time for me, are the more well-rounded human beings.
100%.
That have such reach and access to all of the parts of them, specifically when we're speaking about gender, strength, softness.
100%.
A lot of the men that I know that are, you know, impactful and, like, to me, have had an impact, they all have that gentleness to them.
100%.
And all of the women that we are known as being women are, you know, softy and giggy, gaga, all of that shit. Mm-hmm. The ones that really stand out to me, your Beyoncé's, that bitch doesn't give me soft all the time.
No. Sometimes she gives me straight.
Sometimes she gives
like, right.
Try me, bitch.
Right, 100%. And one of my favourite actors at the moment, or not at the moment, in general life, Lakeith Stanfield, has a real gentleness to him. Like, I watch when he performs and I'm like, nah, you're a very emotionally intelligent man. Yeah. Like, you allow that gentleness of yourself to come through. It's power.
It shows emotional intelligence.
It really does.
Emotional reach and emotional diversity, more times mentally you've got that same reach.
Yeah, 100%.
Because the men that are just out here, not to shade them, but just doing it all the time, most time I can't hold a good conversation with and it's the same way go for my mask men. Once we finish talking about how much protein we eat, what are we talking about? I definitely ain't gonna talk to you about football. I ain't gonna do that.
What for, who
exactly? But if I've got me a man that is soft but also strong and effeminate, but also masculine.
Yes.
When you're well-rounded, I love that about a man. Amen. And I love that about a woman as well.
Like, 100%.
Me and my nigga right now, one thing I love about us, okay, not so much with the gym part, but he'd be coming with me to the gym sometime, but he liked to go and do his own little thing. I think he got a little complex about me knowing a bit more about the thing. You know, but let me
know. I know how it get when we, you know, I know how it be when couples work out.
Yeah.
Me and my fellow work.
We ain't that couple together like this. No. But like, he comes to gym with me and I do like it when he does. Mm-hmm. But the fellow, we can engage in things like that. But then we can also go up, hit up Chinatown and go see Chung Lee and go and see it.
And do Bougie.
I love the two.
Not
I love both of them. And I think that's also why I'm versed too. Because I like both. I like to be, oh my God, don't. But then I also like to be like, yo, I'm going to get 8 reps of these.
Amen.
That
part.
I love it all. Mm-hmm. I love it all. And I love not being confined to just the one thing, because I just feel more well-rounded. And I feel like black men, I spoke about this in a couple of episodes ago, aren't afforded and aren't raised to have and aren't raised and encouraged to reach and explore all of who they are as black men. It's black men. It's always just the strength part and the don't cry part and the part. But it's never. I hope we're seeing it change more now.
A 360 experience of that.
Yeah, be a whole human being. Don't raise it to be half a man.
100%.
Because that's what the thing is. They half of a man, which is why they so shook and they don't have that peace that you were referring to.
That
because they've
right
not been
there.
Able to explore these things that, regardless, in life, when they grow up and they're no longer boys, but they become men, they will encounter, oh, am I gay? Am I bi? Am I a crier? Am I emotional? But because the parents aren't raised them to be full, well-rounded men, they will struggle later on.
I think that part of me always makes you think of like our parents. Like, I think of like my parents and my grandparents and how much space they were given to be vulnerable, especially in this country. I know that is something that my dad certainly wasn't. And so he wasn't able to encourage me to be vulnerable. And I feel like sometimes they feel affronted by us letting that part of ourselves out. Certainly I speak from my own experience. I feel like there's a part of my brothers and my dad and my granddad who would have wanted me to be very kind of, this is man, this is black man. And I'm like, but also,
that's not what a black man is.
Right. What is that definition? Because actually in that, each generation breaks the rules a little bit more and a little bit more. And so to go back to the whole bisexual thing, I think, learning how to not internalize our own homophobia has been is a journey with me, like unlearning certain transphobic ideas that I would have held in the past and learning to shame people in their bisexuality where maybe I felt intimidated by my own bisexuality as it kind of blossoms. And I'm getting to the age now where I want to have kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to need a womb for that child. Me and my man keep trying. I'm like, girl, it'd be spit and do. And I'm like, where's my baby?
We're going to get into it. Okay, cool. There's been some developments in labs.
Come on, science.
But two things I wanted to touch on before with that. One, this goes out to some of the watchers or the viewers on YouTube. I had one person in the comment section that was like, "Oh, this isn't just black men. Actually, it's white men too." One thing that you need to understand, is that black men, when they go home, or black boys, when they go home, before they even go to school, are often told, you know, when you go to school, because of the way things are set up, you know, make sure to always be on your best behavior. You've got to work a little bit harder because the world isn't like this, and da, 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 da. Be strong. Like, don't let it get to you. They're already like sent out into the world to be ready for battle.
So that
is one of the other reasons why, you know, we had Phil on here talking about, and even myself, like saying, no, like when you come out as gay or come out as bi or whatever, and you start being soft as a black man, people are like, what? Because all of you white men and everyone is so conditioned into seeing that from us in the media. Like, we don't really see a lot of like, straight, soft men,
like gentle men, like as in an actual gentleman, like they're free to express themselves.
Yeah, they're far and few. There's not many of them, and when they are, they're like all big icons. But for the most part, a black man coming forward, you're used to in the mainstream media just seeing tough guy, solid guy, da da da. So the minute a black man starts doing anything different from that, even in the community,
that's
very much a thing. Like, be a black strong man, be a strong Christian black man, be strong. No, you're straight. You're just this. It's a cultural thing.
It is.
And I don't feel, I might have white genes in me, but I come from a black home. The only white person in my family was my mum's mum. Yeah, everyone else black and brown, bitch. I don't know how white households work. However, I don't get the impression that they're taught be the strong white man. Like, I definitely feel like they're taught to be men and to be a certain way.
There's a different version of it, but it's not that thing, right? Yeah.
Culturally, no, because even when I feel like we could talk all day about it.
Do you know what? Even with the whole thing of like, I think I saw a thing on Shade Barra the other day where it's like Anthony Joshua was saying like, I still live at home with my mum because I'm busy traveling the world and I'm around and about. So when I'm at home, I like to be with my mum. And people were like, that's so zesty. I was like, Anthony Joshua would just kunk, and your head is inside your neck and your neck inside your shoulder. So
how is that zesty? Like, his mum probably throws down in the kitchen, isn't charging that much rent. I mean, he's so rich.
A multi-millionaire.
What?
While you're sitting there at your keypad talking about and I feel like what we need to stop doing is shaming black men, black women for just being themselves. Like, everybody got, if you don't like, don't look.
Yeah, literally. So I want this specific YouTube person to just remember that it's a cultural difference. And I'm not suggesting that white men don't go through it, because they will. But culturally, there is so much more expectation from the black community, from a fellow black brother, and how he should be. And which is why we've got so many more DL men in the black community than in the white community. I don't know anyone that's ever like continued their life as a DL man that's been white. I've heard many stories of like young white boys say, "Oh yeah, I was closeted for a bit, and then they come out, and then more time their mum Sarah's like, "Oh baby, we knew it,
right,
the whole family." And I don't doubt that there's times when like the father might not like it or whatnot, but in the black community, where a lot of us, from the Caribbean backgrounds or African backgrounds, which the two of them are very, very much linked to the church, and black church is very, very different to your white Catholic church. I'm gonna tell you that for true. You can't just be coming out in these spaces and expect, unfortunately, everything to just be okay. So many mm-hmm. people have lost homes, lost family members. Like, it's
I'm one of
it's
those people,
so
expense, for sure.
Yeah. expected in the yeah. community. So I it's a cultural well, thing, honey.
Just to expand on what you're saying about it being a cultural thing, I think that white men and white people as a general are allowed nuance within their expression of their sexuality mm. and their gender identity in a way that when you're speaking, I think you're speaking, you're saying about one commenter who's white. I feel like there's
like, it's not just a black thing, it's all men.
There's a nuance to the conversation that happens between the cousins that sometimes it would behoove y'all to sit back and listen and learn from, because you may be wanting to educate, but I think if you're trying to peer behind that black velveteen curtain, mm-hmm. maybe just step back, let the conversation happen, and you might learn something. Because I feel like sometimes it's like you want to be, no, but it's not just black yeah. people, and it's like, yeah, but in doing that, you're trying to educate when you need to be educated. And then, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's always something I'm like, just take a minute.
Because I also guarantee that this person, well, this person was obviously a white man. I've got a question for you or anyone that is thinking the same as this person is, yeah? If you were open, gay, flamboyant, you don't even need to be flamboyant to be gay, but if you was that kind of gay, that loud, that visible with it, would you rather walk with all of that expression through a typically black neighbourhood or a white neighbourhood like Chelsea? Where would you feel more safe?
Right.
Ask yourself. Ask yourself.
Very true.
And there's your answer, bitch.
Yeah.
There's your answer. Mm-hmm. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why. But we digress. So this man also, Chance the Rapper's brother.
Wait, we went all the way down there.
Houses.
Jesus.
So he said he's bisexual, right? He said he's bisexual, and he got referred to as being, oh no, we just gay. Like I said, I do feel like bisexuality needs more representation. I really do think it does. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we are in need of a lot more validation within the whole community, but especially in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about sexuality, you must know who Saucy Santana is,
of
right?
course, yeah, we know Saucy.
Okay, so Saucy Santana was... his friends with a young man by the name of Nick Young.
I saw that the other day when he like, on the high school back to school type program.
Yeah, it was some reality TV show right. that they were filming with
Tamar
celebrities.
and someone, and they all got together and they were going through their college degree or something.
So this guy Nick Young, who you may know from this meme, he's like got his face that screwed up. He's a handsome. Young
oh, is that
fellow.
Is that him? Brother.
That's him. Like,
oh, the question mark.
Yes.
Oh, she's a cutie. Okay, yeah. I know who that is now.
So he was on like a live with an NBA player by the name of Gilbert Arenas. NBA player was asking, okay, so who you do this show with? Who you do this show with?
Mm.
Heterosexual black man, straight black man,
mm-hmm.
and so was Nick Young.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, I did it with my friend, you know, rapper Saucy Santana, and
mm-hmm.
Gilbert's, oh, who's that? And then he was like, oh, let me look him up. And Nick off the bat was like, oh no, don't do that,
because you're about to say some
don't
shit.
Do
you're
that.
About to be saying some shit, right?
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, okay, so
this
I
is about to take a
video.
Turn, yeah.
And then he started to laugh, ha ha, this your friend, and Nick proceeded to say, yeah, that, but don't do it, that's my dog, and he just laughed and clowned Saucy Santana.
Mm-hmm.
What irked me was that Nick, who said that's his dog, that's his friend, didn't defend his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that was me, because there's some videos on my Instagram, some really nice videos of me in a thong twerking in Miami looking hella cute.
Yes!
If I was...
You did, you look good. You look real good.
Oh, thank you.
Nah, you really did, you really did. I was like, come on, Baldy.
If I had a friend showing this to a straight man, oh yeah, like I just, you know, recorded this podcast with Mar, like this is him. If I'm getting clowned by another one of your friends and you stay silent, we got issues.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be kicking it like
that. We're not going to be kicking like that again.
Yeah.
Because you're not my friend.
Yeah.
Because for me, a friend is someone that shows you they're a friend when you're not around them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They got to back it.
Yeah.
And I feel like more often than not, we're the straight boys, the ones who, in my own personal experience, I'm always a bit like this with the straight boys who are like, they feel like they have to defend their heterosexuality. The brothers who are like, yo, I'm straight, but I ain't got no issue with nothing. Do what you live your life as in they just let... I'm like, oh, okay, I can see your heterosexuality. I can see where you're comfortable in your own skin because you feel comfortable with me being comfortable. But bless him, when I saw that clip, I felt... I could feel his uncomfortability. I was, first of all, I was proud of him for backing, for saying, yo, that's my dog, that's my friend. But then the
did
same.
Did he do enough for you?
No.
If that was your friend,
No. I wouldn't be happy with that at all. And then I felt my heart kind of drop because I was like, nah, man, you could have backed it for Saucy. You could have been like, yeah, but what's the ish? Like, because.
Yeah, I'd be like, what are you laughing at?
And what is it guilty? Like, what is this guilty by association kind of stupidness? It's like, what? You can't have no gay friends. Like, half of y'all already know, I know, half of these niggas up in the hood, you got a gay auntie or a gay uncle or a cousin or a somebody. You already know you got someone near and dear to you. You're not walking around like you ain't never, not ever met. Yeah. Or you got a one brethren where you're like, like, I can kind of feel what you're getting. We made you just like you're not living in a completely queerless, we're all straight men world. Like, and also half of you that are in the gym working body, don't lie that you're not like, oh well, bro, you're looking buff, you know. Like, yeah. The difference between being in the club when you're like, well, you're looking buff, you know, is a line of something or a two drinks of something or a little something, and before you know it, do you know what I mean? Everybody's sweating. And right, somebody's huffing and puffing. Like, so I don't know what this whole thing. I felt for Saucy because I feel like they're holding up the mantle within the rap world of being like the out there nails and booty, like that girl. And I feel like it would have been nice if his straight dog had backed it in for him 100%. Yeah.
And again, it kind of bleeds into the last subject that we were speaking about, where black men aren't really given the space to be a certain way or literally get laughed at, like literally laughed at online by homophobic men, problematic men, and then even their friends not really backing it the way they should. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an important lesson for allies, like the straight people, to know that, like, if this was you and if this was how an ally would react, it's not enough.
It's not enough.
He started laughing, that should have been, what are you laughing at my friend for? Like, why are you laughing at my friend for? Because if this was two white people and then they showed someone a black person and the white person was like, oh my God, that's who you're hanging around with. That black.
And you don't back it.
And you're like, you need to be like, what the fuck are you laughing at? What's wrong with them? They're black and what?
What?
Like, 100%. Come with energy. Like, come with energy, because you not checking it the way it should be checked is the reason why that person will continue to do that. And other people just think is acceptable and nothing will ever change.
It's funny you saying that, because I've had to really take a step back from some near and dear ones in my family, like close relatives, because I was like, you know, over the last couple of years, a few things have gone down where people have been genuinely homophobic and stepped to me in a way I'm like, bro, this could get real fractious. As in, I feel like you kind of, like, if I don't back it or if I don't surrender, this is going to become a fight. And kind of having those conversations happening away from me and then realizing, oh wait, someone that I really truly love, like my nearest and dearest, is not backing it for me. That shit hurts, man. When you're like, wait a minute, so why am I trying to make effort with you as a family member? Why am I trying to make that effort with you? Because actually I let you know that this person was trying to intimidate me in a specific space that triggered me as a queer person, as a black person. I'm not gonna get specifics, but one of my relatives got a white husband and he nearly got clapped the fuck down in his own home. I was like, oh bitch, I'm not
anyone
that
fucking get it.
Girl,
anyone can get it.
I'm not that girl. And I seckled because I was like, you know what? I'ma hold this to respect my nearest and dearest, who is my relative, even though your partner is being that one, and then to not have my nearest, my relative, my sibling back it for me in the way that I was like, nah, you know what? I'm gonna say deuces for a little while, and you're gonna have to feel what it's like when my light is not ready, is not bringing you into my circle. Actually, not the opposite around. Anyway, we digress.
I don't think the way that Nick handled it was appropriate and acceptable. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have stood for that shit if that was my friend. There's pressure. We've got issues now. Like, me and you've got issues, and me and this other man have got issues for handling it the way he did, by laughing at me and disrespecting me and being homophobic. And being a bully, essentially, as well, like, regardless of what the issue was, like, laughing at me like that online, like, you're being a bully and you're being homophobic. And like you were saying earlier, it's probably to do with the lack of peace within himself.
That part.
Because he probably saw Saucy Santana's ass wobbling and started to think, shit. I would really do some things. Okay. But so, in other news, that you remember at the top of this, I said, oh, sometimes I have to talk about things I don't really care about. Kate Middleton has been seen shopping with her husband. Anyway.
Yeah, is that right? I was about to say, no, please. I was like, okay,
Beyonce, in other news.
Because let me just say real quick, yeah. The one thing I will say about Kate Middleton relates to Meghan, which is, how dare the Mirror say that Kate could do with an ally? Because they knew the wording they was using. They were like, that they really feel like Kate could do with an ally in Meghan. I said, okay.
Where was that for Meg? Where was that for Meg? When she was telling us that she felt suicidal, where was that? Where was her ally?
I was like, babe.
When she had lost the baby.
Let Kate go and get her BBL or whatever she was
doing. Yeah, I read it was a BBL and then I seen that video. I was like, nah, she's still long back.
Kate. Babe, I'm seeing bare spine and knee Kate. Back. She like, babe. No, and the biggest lie they ever told us was that Pippa Middleton had back. Do you remember when them two got married? And I'm like, that was the year of the year. I was like, and all of us were like, wait, what?
It was a reach.
No. Anyway, in other news.
So Beyonce had posted on Instagram today, on her internet that she owns.
On Beyonce's internet.
On Beyonce's big internet, she has said that, I'm going to read it straight from the horse's mouth. From the horse's mouth, the white horse that she sat on.
Come on, Renee.
Yeah, so she said, today marks the 10-day countdown until the release of Act 2. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of the supporters of Texas Hold'em 16 Carriages. I feel honoured to be the first black woman with the number one single on the Hot Country Songs chart. Mm. That would not have been, that would not have happened without the outpouring of support from each and every one of you. My hope is that years from now, the mention of an artist's race as it relates to releasing genres of music will mm-hmm. be irrelevant. Mm-hmm. The Queen goes on to say a lot more things. Now, I've spoken on this podcast before about how everyone was outraged that she's been doing country music. And what really gagged me, have you read this?
Tell me.
Okay, so let me just read the whole thing. I might as well. So this album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, .. And it was very clear that I wasn't. I think this could be about when she released the country music and went on to the country awards thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the music, into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating on our musical history.
Amen.
The criticisms I faced with when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Mm-hmm. Act 2 is a result of challenging myself and taking my time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work. I have a few surprises on the album and have collaborated with some brilliant artists who I deeply respect. I hope that you can hear my heart and soul and all the love and passion that I poured into every detail and every sound.
We do, Beyonce.
I focus, right?
I
focused on this album as a I focused on this album as a continuation of Renaissance. I hope this music is an experience, creating another journey where you can close your eyes, start from the beginning, and never stop.
Oh.
Now, this is the last two sentences or three sentences that she ends with, and this for me was the real gag.
Right, the bit that they
She went on to say. I just want to point out that for the prior message that she gave to us, it was all very eloquent. It was all very grammatically correct. It was all very the PR lady handled what she gave us to do.
She gave us and world peace.
Yvette did her big one or Yvonne, whatever the PR lady's name's mm-hmm. called. And then it says, this ain't a country album, full stop. This is a Beyonce album.
Okay.
This is Act 2, Cowboy Carter, and I'm proud to share it with y'all.
Oh, Beyonce. Oh, you took a girl.
When she said, this ain't a country album.
I love
this
her.
This is a Beyonce
right.
album.
Right.
Yes, bitch.
This is what I love about her, because she gave us Texas Hold'em.
You
right?
are the genre.
You are the
you
genre.
You are the genre.
She gave us that country fucking song, and everyone lost their fucking mind. And I was like, it was such a reminder of how much black artistry has always been at the forefront and is at the epicenter of all things black.
Everything.
All music is black music. I'm not having a discussion no more. No. And everyone being like, oh, how dare Beyonce do a country song? First of all, it's
Houston, probably, Texas.
It's more, Texas. Right? She's a country girl. She's never said she weren't a country girl. It's a pop blend genre of country and a whole lot of things. Even a little twang twang had these necks red.
And this is how I know white people stay mad. The majority of the time, white people stay mad. Because when Adele when it does a motherfucking Jamaican version of one of her songs, we love that shit because she do it respectfully.
Babe,
we be remixing it ourselves in the club.
Babes, please, I bet.
But the minute they see a black person touching something, majority of the time, better than they be doing it.
Of course. Ooh. And also, let's even, I love me some Adele, and I also rep for Adele because obviously Adele's here for the culture, but also she reps for Beyonce. I love, it's like, Beyonce is a celebrity. Let's just call it what it is. Like, you lots was busy giving Taylor Swift her fourth album of the year at the Grammy Awards. Please release me. Meanwhile, where is Beyonce's? You gave it last year, instead of Renaissance, you gave it to Harry Styles. That's a joke thing. Like, and I'm watching and I'm like, so when you look at Adele and she drops a song which is steeped in Negro spiritual. There's a fire started in my, that is black music. Like,
yeah, of course, they love it.
Right, they're like, oh, she is the saviour of soul and R&B music. Oh, but the minute Beyonce said, this ain't Texas, she was like, oh. Like,
then they mad.
Like mad in their chest.
A whole
like,
bitch from Houston, Texas.
A whole farm girl from the get-go. From like, babe,
she's in a girl band.
Right. Babe, please. So just release us.
With the knee highs.
Babes. Beyonce is about to blow up the whole thing.
Oh yeah, I can't
Act
wait.
Two.
I'm ready.
Babe, and that's what I'm like laughing about though, is because they're like, last year she had the whole high street, from the high street to the Couturiers.
Everyone in silver.
Babe, and people are out here looking at a whole tin man. Like, I'm not trying to be shady, but when I went to the restaurant, I was like, babe, okay, well, you
like it, I love it.
I love that for you. If that's what you decided to do, then, and like, now it's like everyone about to be walking around like Reba McEntire or like one, like, do you know what I mean, that down in, what's her name? Saying?
That down in, Shania Twain.
Shania Twain looking like a whole Shania Twain up in Renaissance Act 2.
But yeah, very, very, very excited for that album. Very, very, very excited. Dropping in 10 days from today.
Oh!
And then next up, I want to read something to you from the Gay Times.
Oh.
Shout out to Gay Times. So this goes out to all the LGBTQ people that want to have kids and they want both of the children to have their DNA.
I am one of those queens.
I'm one of those
queens. Oh, my God. I want some babies.
One of the things about the one reason why I would love to have a child with a woman would be because I would want to look into my child's eyes and see not just me, but see the person that I'm in love with in that person's child as well. Like, I think that's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the Gay Times. So a new IVF breakthrough could help LGBTQ plus couples have their own biological children. Now, it says here that Oregon Health and Science University scientists have released new research that could help some LGBTQIA couples have their own biological children. The new technique called in vitro gametogenesis, IVG, involves turning a skin cell into a viable egg. Now, OHSU scientists took a skin cell from a mouse and removed the nucleus before implanting it into a donor egg before manipulating the nucleus to lose half of the chromosomes. This reduction of the chromosomes is the main differentiation to cloning and how DNA from two donors can be present compared to cloning that only has DNA from the one donor.
Your scientists are about to have the straights campaigned in the street.
Yes,
they're
bro.
Going to lose their mind. What?
So the new egg is then fertilized with sperm, which is known more commonly as in vitro fertilization, resulting in a diploid embryo with two sets of chromosomes, leading to healthy offspring with equal amounts of genetics from both parents. The goal is to one of the scientists says the goal is to produce eggs for patients who don't have their own eggs.
If me and my man could create a baby, I would lose my mind. That baby would be cute as fuck. Oh my God.
Yes,
that bitch is about to be running this shit.
Period.
What?
Yeah, no, if me and my mans can have a little child. Oh.
They would be gorgeous. No, because y'all are both so fine. Like, both of you are so gorgeous. Like, listen, so the cousins will be running around. I'd be like, they would run the whole shit. They would be like, babe, I'd be like, listen, we'll be sitting. I'll be like, Mama's gone. Mama needs to have her daytime spliff. Just y'all go play in the garden.
So are you? What's your like faith or religion? Are you religious? Or do you have a faith? Like, because I can already see that people be like, this isn't godly. We shouldn't be doing this.
They'd be like, you're about to create some Nephilim, some crazy oversized.
They're basically already doing this with straight couples,
right?
But like in terms of like using someone's eggs and doing it like. man-made stuff. Like,
and choosing eye colours and hair colours and breeding out certain things.
I don't think that it's ungodly at all to do something like this, because if we're really now calling, you know, science and things of that nature ungodly, then bitch, if your mama's blind, don't go to a doctor and don't use science to cure that.
And let your foot just drop
off. Your God wanted your mum to be blind. So let her stay doing up Stevie Wonder.
No!
Let her stay up doing Stevie Wonder, because your God made her that way. And your God makes no mistakes. So suffer, bitch. And next time you catch a case of some sickness, don't go to the doctor. It's don't
true.
Do science.
It's true.
You can't be picking and choosing which sciences are godly and which sciences are not godly.
I agree with this. I think for me, I grew up super religious, and I probably think upon a time ago, I would have kept those kind of internalized homophobic ideas of like, it should be a child between a man and a woman. Now I'm like, listen, I want some babies as of like years ago. Like, I'm like, listen, me and my man can have a child. I'm here for it.
If you and your man, if like, what I don't know yet is where this egg goes. Like, I'm presuming it would have to now be put into a surrogate woman.
Yeah.
If it was to be a case where scientists were like, oh, we can actually have a man put this into a man and give him a womb.
Oh, no.
Would you and your...
No, no. We ain't about
to... You wouldn't want to carry it?
No.
I'm not saying I would.
Me and Shoot have had this debate. I'm like, listen, so personally right now I'm entering my Kelly Rowland Gabrielle Union era. So really I'm trying to maintain the tightness. So I feel like my body's not designed to pop out the babes.
Are you gonna be tight to the day?
Babes, I'm trying to do, you not see Lenny Kravitz the other day, 59, he's looking fine like wine. I said no. Like, that's a man who knew when to like go home from the party. So like, yeah. I'm learning to like, I don't, you know what, if it came down to it, and like, but I feel like because my fella is like, I'm Mrs. Robinson, he's a younger, you know what I mean, she's a younger girl to me. So I'm like,
okay. Yeah,
Hold the baby out, man. Hold the baby, man. Do you know what I mean?
So if you got a surrogate mother to do it, would you, you know how like the girls be when they pregnant, they get their pregnancy picture? Would you like...
Not Beyonce and Wendy Williams with the stomach folding.
Would you have the woman carry the baby and then you and your man's be like either side?
Babe,
like, would you still get pregnancy shots if neither of you carried it?
I don't know.
Or would it just be of the belly and you just cut out the bitch?
See, I'm really like this.
Belly. And your two hands.
Babe, just like that. We had a debate about this of like, what would we do? Because he was very much of the school. He's changed his mind now. But he was like, he wanted to conceive naturally. So he was like, well, would we get a wife or a girlfriend? Would he?
As if he wanted to fuck.
Yeah. And I was like,
I mean, cheaper option. That's what I would have done.
Right. But also, I'm not.
I've been hollering my friend.
I'm not trying to be a gunkle, like in the situation where now you have a wife and a baby. And I'm sitting there like, so whose child
is that?
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have a baby with my man. So me, I'm like, babe, once the paycheck has cleared and you've given us the baby, I'm like, girl, it was cute. Like, here's a mocktail. In a bit, babe.
If she wanted to, this is the thing. If I had a friend that wanted to, you know, carry the child for me and wanted to be a part of it, a part of the child's life, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Because when I look, I don't want to slow down. Mm. I need to stay my ass on a yacht twerking. I want to stay booked and blessed. So if I've got me, my man, and my brethren who also wants to be involved,
you've got the whole village.
It's giving babes. Me and Baze are going to Rome this weekend. Do you want to spend time with me? So now you have Mama and Daddy and Daddy.
I do receive that. I could work with that in a kind of collective something. Yeah, I do. I could see where that
can
work.
But I would be like, okay, so this is our child. Obviously, it's your child, but this is our child. We're going to treat you like an aunt or like grandma or granddad. But you're not there all the time. You live with mum and dad, but you see them frequently.
Yeah. I wouldn't expose who it is, but like I've got a near and dear friend who... Her and her partner, so her partner carried the baby, and my friend's brother was the donor. So they've got a biological child, which is theirs and relates to her, but it was carried by her wife. And I was like, okay, I can see where that would be a really cool situation. Actually, if I'd like, well, ain't nobody in my family going to carry that child for Stuart. They'll be like, what? Like,
I did question, would I be able to get my cousin to carry it? Because she'd be like, I would do that. But then I thought, is that weird?
No. Because it's not going to be your, it's not going to be your sperm or your seed, so I don't think that's weird.
No, but what if it was my sperm?
Oh no, then just in case the baby came out with the many toes.
What if they took my skin cell, but then use my nigga's sperm and put it in my cousin?
Then I think that's doable. I think just check, because you don't want to.
I mean, we ain't there yet. I ain't got no time for no kids just yet. But definitely in the next
six, I just wonder how much. Okay, I need to investigate this scientific breakthroughs, because I just don't want my child to come out with like a pitch tongue.
No, they've said like it works like absolutely fine on these mice, so they just need to, I guess, eventually go through the steps that need to be taken so they can test it on humans. But lit, if we as gay men can have our own kids,
oh,
it's about to actually,
yeah, it's about to, it's actually about, because I do want to have a tribe.
Imagine that dream now coming true. And it's just infuriating, because I know that there's going to be Christians that are going to be like, no, this isn't it. But at the end of the day, God wants us to learn. God wants us to grow. God has given us these talents.
And to be a manifestation of love and of life.
And like, if we can have all of these things, then I just don't see what the bad
sidebar thing. I do want to have like a whole Brangelina situation. Like, I want to have a black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese child, like as in like one from every color, because like I do, it's important for me to have a black child. Stuart wants to have a white child, and I feel like it'll be beautiful for them to walk in the school as a crew, and they're like, wait, that's my sibling, why are you so
do you not want a mixed race child?
Yeah, black, white, mixed race. I want to have a whole white, mixed race, Chinese, everyone. Like, my grandma's Chinese, there's Spanish in my family, there's Indian in my family, I've got Nigerian descent. I'd like to just have a plethora of ethnicities. Yeah.
How many kids do you want?
I come from a family, like me and my siblings, there were six of us. So I'm thinking four.
Yeah, I come from a family of like four, two boys, two girls. And I've always wanted that. But as time has gone on, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, you know,
I would still love it, because when I think of like family events and stuff, like,
it's nice.
That's going to be great. But like, every day to have four little Nicholas running around.
Nicholas running around, you're like, God damn. But this is why
that's when that extra mama comes in handy.
And that's where we're gonna be getting ourselves. So we're living good, rich, and bougie. Yes. Like, so you've got the nanny, the chef.
Amen.
So when it's time, you're like, you know
amen
what?
And
like,
amen.
Interesting. Like, do you know what I mean? Auntie Wu was doing my nails while the chef is in the kitchen.
Period.
Tibble.
But yeah. That is it for Miles Measures this week.
Ah!
Right, so before we get into some things, honey, we've got some questions from the listeners.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.